at Calvary. And the saints of all the ages fill its ranks. O'er the sands of time they're marching to the King's great coronation. And this could be the dawning of that day. Oh, this could be the dawning of that grand and glorious day, when the face of Jesus we behold. Dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting his returning, and this could be the dawning of that day. All the saints are getting restless. Oh, the glorious expectation fills each face. Dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting his returning, and this could be the dawning of that day. Oh, this could be the dawning of that grand and glorious day, when the face of Jesus we behold. Dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting his returning, and this could be the dawning of that day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. And this could be the dawning of that day.
Thank you, Brother and Mrs. Garner. You know, Brother Garner, the last time I saw you on this, well. Brother Garner did a good job at our Men of the Word conference in portraying truth. Whether it was Reverend Zeke or whether it was something else, you won't forget it, I promise you. Well, this evening is in honor of our workers, and I want to defer from our Sunday evening studies on ministering to the multitudes to have you turn tonight, if you would, to Nehemiah chapter 4. I want you to turn to Nehemiah chapter number 4. You know, I can't think of a greater chapter or a greater book in the Bible that depicts, I think, what our workers are here at Trinity Baptist Church than in the book of Nehemiah. Would you stand with me, if you would, Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to read the first six verses of Nehemiah chapter number 4. The Bible said, "It came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." Can I say, anytime you want to do something for God, you're always going to have mockers. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's today, whether it's his day. Anytime you want to do something for God, if you can't put up with mockers, if you can't deal with criticism, you're going to have a rough time. Because there's always going to be a group of people that are going to try to discourage you. "And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice themselves? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. That's an insult. That's a flat-out insult. He said, no matter what you do, it ain't going to last. And you know what? There's a lot of folks, I'm sure, a lot of the world probably thinks, you know what you Christians are doing? It ain't going to last. It's just going to, listen, a fox going, it'll fall down. And so they were making fun of the people of God. Look at verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Verse 6 is our text verse tonight. Nehemiah said, so we build the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Now listen to this. He said, for the people had a mind to work. He said, the people had a mind to work. When you go back and read these six verses, they had to have a mind to work, considering what they just heard, considering what that they were being made fun of. And listen, did you know their integrity is being called into question here? He says, will they fortify? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Now, folks, I don't know about you, but when your integrity starts being called into question, when people start calling your integrity and your character into question, them fighting words. That's standing up words. Listen, that's where you want to stand up and prove God mighty. And I want to take these verses tonight, particularly in verse number 6, and I want to preach to you for just a moment tonight on a cause to work. A cause to work. Now, Father, we're grateful to be alive. We have the privilege of being in church. Many people around the world don't even have a place to go to church, though they'd like to go. They'd like to have an assembly like this, but, Lord, a lot of times we take some things for granted, and we don't want to do that. We want to give you the glory and honor that you deserve. And my prayer is tonight that you would show yourself great and mighty in this service tonight. And then, Lord, would you bless here in just a little bit as we honor all of our workers who serve in some capacity in this church. And we'll give you the glory for what you should do through the service tonight. We ask it in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Amen. And you can be seated. You know, people will work for what is important to them. The situation that we have at hand here, Nehemiah, is faced with a situation. And by the way, this is his home country. This is his home city. This is a place that he loves, a place that he cares about. And he got word that the walls were broken down. They were on fire. Things were in disarray. And he had a burden deep down in here. You know what? That's where you get inside here. You get that from God. And he had a desire to do something about the situation that was at hand. May I say to you that there was a cause for him? You see, people will invest their time, they'll invest their energy, they'll invest their money into a cause they truly believe is worthy. You see, a cause is a reason, folks. It's a motive that moves or impels us to act upon something. That's what a cause is. And Nehemiah had his cause. May I remind you that David looked around as Goliath stood in the valley cursing the people of God. Nobody was doing anything about it. And David said, is there not a cause? Are we going to let this uncircumcised Philistine dictate to us what's going to happen? He looked around. A lot of good people there, a lot of people that could have done something about it, but did nothing. David said, I'll do something about it. Nehemiah said, I'll do something about it. And let me tell you something, God blessed both of them's effort. You see, to labor for a specific cause requires a people, I want you to listen, that's fully persuaded. We talked about that last week, being fully persuaded that what they're doing and investing in will produce eternal benefits. Do you believe that? Do you believe that what we're doing today will produce eternal benefits in the future? Listen, let me tell you something, folks. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't even be here tonight. It's eternal benefits. Listen, what we're doing here tonight for the cause of Jesus Christ, going out, serving in ministries, reaching people, it's what it's all about. You see, Nehemiah had a cause. The walls were in disrepair. The people of God were in danger. Hey, he had a love for his country and its well-being. My question is tonight, do you have a love for your church? Do you love the church and the people of God that make up that church so much that you're willing to sacrifice? Hey, did you know right here that these knuckleheads question their integrity? Will they sacrifice? Let's find out if they really love their country. Let's find out if they really love Jerusalem. Let's find out if they're really sold out to the cause. Their integrity being called into question. Listen, first thing, question that was asked, what do these feeble Jews? They'll never get it done. Well, you know what? If it was left up to us to get it done, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Oh, God says, listen, let me have your hands. Let me have your voice. Let me have your feet. Let me have your ears. Let me have your eyes. We can do something. We can do something when God is behind it. You see, these are several things that compel Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem. I love it because I know God was in it, because not only did the king let him go, he helped finance it. Boy, you know God's in on it when that happens. When you have heathens financing the work of God. You see, when he heard the news that Jerusalem's condition, it did something in his heart. As I was standing out here today, watching our buses roll in, watching the folks from our Spanish ministry leave today, and I just stood out on the porch here and began to watch. You know something? That stirred my soul. It stirred my soul. And may I say to you tonight, if souls don't stir you, if the condition of people don't stir you, there's something wrong. I might have a tendency to say that you might have some hearing impairment. You might have something going on inside you. There may not be a source there that is giving you anything inside you to help you to feel that desire and that compassion for people. You see, as I watch people leave, come and go today, and I watched these little children get off the bus, and I was standing there holding the door open. This one little old boy, I forgot what bus he was off of, he just stopped, and I'm holding the door. Welcome to church, welcome to church. He stopped there right in front of me. He said, good day. No, he said, good morning. And I said, you mean good afternoon? He said, yeah, good afternoon, sir. I thought, man, that's, you know what, that blessed my soul. That a kid, a third or fourth grader, would stop and just say, good day, sir. Good afternoon. Now, he was a little bit off on his time, like we are next week on time change, but he thought it was morning and it was afternoon. But, you know, I truly believe that Nehemiah had in him the same spirit that the laborers of Trinity Baptist Church have in them. I believe you look around and you see, man, what could God do? If we just get involved. I believe you love your church. And may I say to you, this spirit is very contagious. And it's evident by the people laboring together for a common cause. You see, the work of God here at Trinity Baptist Church will require the same effort that Nehemiah got from his people. Would you look in chapter 3 for just a moment? You say, what kind of spirit, what kind of attitude did Nehemiah get? He got teamwork. He got teamwork from the people. I want you to notice that as he began to make assignments of where people would begin to work on the wall, notice if you would in verse number 2, the Bible says, and next unto him builded the men of Jericho. Look at verse number 4, and next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah. Look at verse 5, and next unto them. Look at verse 6, moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son, and he goes on and lists a whole bunch of guys we don't know about. Look at verse 7. and next unto them. Look at verse 8, and next unto him repaired. Look at verse 9, and next unto them repaired. Look at verse 10, and next unto them. And it goes on and on and on. You know what they had? Teamwork. You know one of the things that's allowed Trinity Baptist Church to be a light of the gospel? Teamwork. Teamwork. It's evident in so many different areas of our ministry. You see, it's not the work of one man or one woman, but rather a team of God's people laboring for a common purpose, and that is to please God. To please God. You see, Nehemiah could never have accomplished the rebuilding of that wall alone. It took the effort of many people to get it done. And listen to me, church. They got it done in an amazing 52 days. 52 days they got her done. You know what? There's no telling how long it took them to build the wall to begin with. And they went in, set up for over 42,000 of them. I said, boy, it sounds like a lot of people. Well, it is until you get and look at the size of the wall and what they had to do. And it was teamwork. And they got it repaired in 52 days. You see, this work here at Trinity Baptist Church, may I say to you, as Nehemiah said in chapter 4 and verse 19, look at it if you would. He said, and I say unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. May I say to you, the work here at Trinity Baptist Church is a great work. It's a large work. Can't be done by one person. Cannot be done by one preacher, one staff member, one deacon. You see, the people, the scripture said, had a mind to work. You see, before these hands start operating, before those feet start moving, you know where it's got to take place first? Right there, in the mind. You've got to have a mind to work. May I say to you that we live, unfortunately, in generations that are coming up and that don't know what work is. They want something for nothing. It's like, I'll go and fill an application out at a job. I want y'all to pay me what I think I'm worth, not what you think I'm worth. You got 16-year-olds going and demanding 10 bucks an hour. Oh, I can't work for less than that. Folks, if I told you my first job, what I made, you'd laugh. But you know, in the work of God, do you know the Bible teaches us that we're to labor for Christ's sake? We're to labor because we love God if there was no rewards. Why? Because Him alone is worthy of all of our work, of all of our labor, and all of our service. I wonder if that might be the reason some are struggling with serving in ministry. You see, the people had a mind to work, to rebuild the wall. And may I say to you, church, just like you, you've got a mind to work. This ministry could not be carried on by just a handful of people. So many folks. Listen, I think of so many people that have labored so many years. I think of Mrs. Freeline, who's been teaching the same Sunday school class for 30 years. I think of others that have longevity. I think of Brother Perrone, who's been in the bus ministry, I guess since he was in diapers. I don't know. He's been there so long. How many years, Brother Joe? 32 years in the bus ministry. Now, what I'm saying to you is, folks, longevity of service is becoming a rarity today. Listen, I'm not talking about in the secular world. I'm talking about in the Christian world as well. Longevity of service is not being one of the attributes of the local church. But I just want to take the verses that we've read tonight and just simply say to you, Trinity Baptist Church, thank you for serving God. Thank you for loving your church, loving it enough to where you have a burden for souls. And those of you that may not be serving or may not be laboring someplace, you say, preacher, where can I labor? What can I do? Maybe you're older in age and you say, preacher, I can't go out and knock doors. Well, let me ask you something. Can you pray? Can you pray? Listen, we may just start a ministry. It's just called the prayer ministry. And just have some people. I don't know. I'm just throwing this out here. Seemed to work for Spurgeon. Maybe we might try it. While he is preaching, he'd have prayer ministry going on. You say, yeah, I'm a preacher. Those people need to be in here. I understand, but you know what? Get some people and get a hold of God while the preacher's preaching. Hey, maybe we just need an old-fashioned prayer ministry where we just have some men and some ladies praying and calling on God to save souls in a morning service. To come tonight and pray that God gets a hold of hearts and people, not just adults, but teenagers and kids. Just saying that it takes teamwork. Two or three things I want to point out to you here about Nehemiah and his people. May I say, first of all, they had a burden. They had a burden. I had someone ask me one time, said, preacher, where do you get a burden? I want a burden. Where do you get a burden? Actually, I wasn't a preacher at that time. When they asked me that, I said, come with me. Look out there. I said, you see them buses? Them little kids getting off in buses. So you see them people over there? See those people over there? Those people. I said, you know where you get a burden? You get a burden when you get out there. That's where you get a burden. Hey, listen, I never got a burden just kneel. Listen, and as much as I've enjoyed the Word of God and Almighty, I've never got a burden just locked up in my office somewhere. The burden came to fruition when I got out there and I began to see people. That's the reason we're planning a missions trip. By the way, we had to adjust that just a little bit because next year we got some conflict of schedule, so we had to move that into the last few days of January and the first few days of February. Make plans, Honduras. All right? That's a commercial. But you know, you say, preacher, why aren't we going on a missions trip? Burden. You need to see what's going on. You see, it's one thing when you see a slide. It's another thing when you're there and you see the kids in the slides. When them little old kids come up and say, Mister, would you pray for my family? Mister, you got any money? Mister, you got any food? Got any candy? I remember one of the first missions trips we took to Mexico. We used to always take Miss Irma because she could interpret for us and get us out of trouble. I remember those missions trips 4, 5, 6 years in a row. I remember some of the little kids down in Monterey or Monclova and these other places that we went, standing on the street corner, little old kids, like they hadn't taken a bath in years, hairs all mad, selling chiclets on the corner. I remember we'd pull up to an intersection. 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old kids would jump on our van. Not trying to break in, washing windows. At one time, I didn't know. I didn't know what they did. They just jumped on it and with dirty water now. It wasn't clean water. It was dirty water. And I didn't know what we were supposed to do. And, you know, they jumped on there and they did squeegee and the light turned green. I pounded on the window. I said, hey, man! I didn't know they wanted a tip or wanted money. So I started to drive off. One of them took his squeegee and hit the side of our window. I thought, man, I think I must have made a mistake. But you know, there's something too when the Scripture talks about mine eye hath affected my heart. You have to see it. You have to see it. You see, Nehemiah was saddened because of the wall, was saddened because of the condition of Jerusalem. But let me tell you where he got his burden when he got there. We don't have time to go back and read. Remember, he eased out in the night to survey the wall. And he told them, Lord, I don't know if these people can take what all the things you've laid on my heart to do. May I say to you folks, I don't spill everything here. But I'm telling you, I've got more ideas and dreams than we got people to fulfill them. There's so many ministry opportunities that are available. You see, the people had a burden. They had a heavy load placed upon their heart. May I say to you, Trinity Baptist Church, you've got a burden for souls, for people died without Jesus Christ. A burden to see your church blessed of God. Boy, one of the things that I so desire for our church, not only is to see our church ministries blessed, but to see the people of God blessed in the process. Hey, let me tell you something. Folks, we got major problems when something is happening wonderfully in someone's life and God shows Himself miraculous and mighty in their life and then we get upset about it. What's God doing that for me? He ain't done that for me. Now listen carefully now. Listen, that's that big brother syndrome. Say, what big brother are you talking about? I'm talking about that prodigal big brother. You see, you do know there was a prodigal that left and one that stayed home. There was two. And may I say to you tonight that that big brother got all bent out of shape because his little brother came home, spent all of his money in riotous living. But you know what? The father was waiting on him. Clothed him, fed him. Hey, he didn't say kill the sick calf. He said kill the fatted calf. Kill the best! My son, which once was lost, he's found. He's back home. He's in the fold. And that's exactly what the Father wants us. And that's how He wants us to feel when we see others being blessed of God. When we see God begin to provide. Hey, listen, when someone comes and preaches, you're not going to believe what God did. What did He do? He gave us a house. Glory to God. Hey, we ought to be excited about that. Preacher, you're not going to believe what God did. What did He do? He gave me a job. But He didn't just give me any job, preacher. He gave me the job I prayed for with the hours I prayed for and doing exactly what I wanted to do. Glory to God. Hey, we ought to be excited about that. We should never think, man, God ain't done that for me. We ought to be excited. And matter of fact, you know what? If we'd be excited for somebody else, He may do that for you. If we'd get excited about what He's doing in everybody else's life. I'm just here to tell you that, you know what, the people that Nehemiah worked with in Nehemiah, they had a burden, church, just like you do. A burden for souls and a burden. Listen, the day that we lose our burden for souls is the day, let's change it from Trinity Baptist to Ichabod Baptist. And folks, listen, many times we'll take some things for granted. Now, I'm not getting on to you, I'm just telling you. Sometimes we take some things for granted. We'll take our Thursday soul winning time for granted. We'll take our Saturday soul winning time for granted. Oh, there'll be people show up. They'll go get them saved. No, we need you to come help us get them saved. Yeah. Those days when we're running 200, 250 out soul winning, that can happen again. Yeah, that can happen again. We got to be there. We need to be, you say, well, I don't have to come, preacher, to an organized meeting to win people to Christ. I know, and neither do I. We do it to support one another. That's what we do it for, to support each other. It's part of the word, a burden for souls. Let me tell you something else, church, you got a burden for. It's very evident, a burden to see people's lives changed. Man, I got a burning desire for that. I'm thinking two or three people right now, you know what? I want God to get a hold of their life so bad and show Him how wonderful and how great He is. And that He's so big and so wonderful, He can overcome every problem they've got. Every problem that they've got, if they could just see it. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. It's right here, folks. Listen. I cannot tell you, men, how many men left the Men of the Word conference yesterday and told me. They said the Spirit of God was there. They said, listen, it was in the preaching. It was in the teaching. It was in every aspect. Brother Mike Ray comes to our church maybe once or twice every two or three years. He told me, he said, preacher, it was great. He said, I felt the Spirit of God. I felt the liberty to preach. He said, man, I'm fired up. He said, I'm going to go back to my church. We're going to do something like this. Hey, it impacted him so much, he wants to go and start something like that in his church. Now, I'm just saying, church, just like Nehemiah had a burden for souls and a burden for people and a burden to see that wall rebuilt, so do you. Let us never lose our burden for the things that please our God. May I say to you, number two, not only did the people have a burden, the people accepted a challenge. They accepted the challenge. Now, you know what repairing the wall of Jerusalem would have been like? It would have been like, well, maybe not quite this bad, but it would have been something similar to this. It would have been like me taking a nice, refined drinking glass and drop it on the floor by the steel, and it bust into about 15 G in pieces. And I said, Brother Steele, here's a tube of super glue. Would you put that back together before the service is over? It may not have been that drastic, but let me tell you something. This was not an easy task. And when Nehemiah looked at that thing, he thought, oh man. Listen, he got pumped up about it. And listen, you know why the people were able to do it in 52 days? Because he was excited about it. He was excited about, oh, glory to God. Listen, I'm sure that in some of his time, he gathered some of the men. He said, men, you're not going to believe this. He says, not only are we going to get this wall rebuilt, he said, the heathens are financing it. They're helping us pay for it. Now listen, that can only be of God. Only God can do things like that. But they accepted the challenge. Hey, remember the questions? Go back in verse 2. Remember the question was asked, what do these feeble Jews? Hey, I don't know about you, but look at these. What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Man, you know what? It sounds like he was challenging them. You know what they? Bless God. We're going to get her done. Now, folks, let me tell you something. When you drive around the city and you see all the thousands and thousands of people, don't be discouraged. You know what you need to do? That's a challenge. That's a challenge. When I look around this auditorium, when this auditorium was built, you think they built this auditorium to be half full? Don't think so. No. And you know something? When I stand back and I look at these pews and I look at that balcony, it doesn't discourage me. It's a challenge. And you know something? Because I know God wants it full. I know that that's His desire. So you know what? What we need to be doing is going out, ministering, and reaching people. It's a challenge. May I say to you, Trinity Baptist Church member, not only did Nehemiah's people accept the challenge, you've accepted the challenge. You say, how, preacher? How did I accept the challenge? Number one, you sacrifice time with your family. You sacrifice time with your family. I've worked in almost every ministry to some degree that this church has. And you know what it requires? It requires sacrifice. When some of you could be home on Sunday afternoon, taking it easy, kick back in your recliner, you're working on a cold bus, hot bus, you're working on a bus that sometimes not the easiest thing to do. Not everybody's obedient. Not everybody gets on the bus and says, glory to God, I can't wait to go to church. Some of them get on there looking, I don't want to be here. My mama made me come. I don't want to be here and I don't like it. But you know what? You just tell this kid, come on the bus, man. You know Jesus loves you. May have been the first time he's heard that week, this week. You see, some could be home, but they're out working the buses. You see, some could be in here and say, preacher, no, I want to be in the preaching service, but they're teaching Sunday school. Why? Because it's important. It's important to get the Word of God. You see, some of you sacrifice. Workers sacrifice time with their family. I didn't say they neglect their family. I said they sacrifice time with them. One of the greatest excitements, one of the greatest thrills I've had in my life is when our family was able to serve together in ministry. Now, not many family members left at home now. The kids grow up and they have their own agendas, and they go their own way and seek God's will in their own life. But, boy, I'll tell you something. Brother Carlos, doesn't it feel good to serve God with your family? Hey, the thing about it is that orange bus route, we don't need no workers on there. Already got them all. But you know something? I like that because it's a family thing. And I like it too because you know what? They can get on to one another. Nobody gets offended. Right? You see, the people accepted the challenge. They sacrificed time with their family. May I say to you also, I know, not only do you sacrifice time with your family, you know that at the end of the day, on the end of the Sunday, you're going to be exhausted at the end of the day. And you know some of you got to get up before daylight in the morning and go to work. But you spent time because you love God and you love your church and you knew that, you know what, I'm going to get up in the morning and go to work. That's not eternal value to that. This is what's going to be of eternal value. The souls of men and women and boys and girls. And you know that you're going to be exhausted. But let me tell you something. You know what? It's a good tired, isn't it? It's a good tired. Some of you are going to go home. You've got to get up before daylight. You're going to lay your head on your pillow tonight. If you're like me, you lay it down, you go, Man, it's already time. Why doesn't 6-7 hours go by that fast during the day? Now you say, preacher, what? You mean when you go to, listen, let me tell you something, friend. When I go to sleep, it's going to take the voice of the archangel and the trump of God to wake me up, to get me up. You see, I know you're going to be exhausted, and so do you. But you do it because you love God. Can I say also, you see the long-term goals and benefits? You see the long-term goals and benefits. Hey, listen, folks, just like the song says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Just passing through. Hey, after it's all said and done, you know that Toyota Tundra pickup out there? They have it. You know all those possessions and think they can have all of it. Because I ain't going to need it. And by the way, they're going to think they need it for a short period of time, but they ain't going to need it either. Because you know, after the rapture takes place and all the believers, you know what most of the world is going to be spend half their time doing? Running and hiding. They ain't going to have no time to spend my stuff. Hey, listen, they're going to have time to drive that pickup. They're going to spend most of their time running and hiding. But you know something? The workers at Trinity Baptist Church, you work hard. It's a stressful work. It's a difficult work. But let me tell you, when you compare the fruit to the labor invested, it's satisfying. It's satisfying. You ever been so thirsty that you stick your tongue to the top of your mouth and it sticks and you have to peel it off? Or your lips get parched. You think, man, if I could just have something to drink. If I could just have something to drink. Now, when I'm really, really thirsty, I got to have water. I mean, I got to have water. I can't drink soft drinks and things like that when I'm thirsty. Plus, you know, when you start stomping on 50 years old and you start drinking soft drinks, they just don't do the same as they used to when I was a kid. Man, I tell you, I drink a soft drink and that carbonation, I feel like, man, you could tie a string to my toe and I'm going to like helium. You know how you get and you just, that's how I feel. So I want to drink water. You know, Trinity Baptist Church, can I say to you, we've got some challenging ministries. Those of you that work in our juvenile ministry, I've been down to the juvenile detention center many times since we've had that ministry. I stand there and look at some of the little kids. Well, I call them kids. You know, some of them 12, 13, 14 years old, already in jail. Already in jail. They had one down there several years ago. They asked him, one of the people was asking him, said, son, do you know the Lord? Didn't know, led him to Christ. Good-hearted kid. Couldn't have been more than 13 years old, maybe somewhere along that. And they asked him, said, "Son, what are you in here for?" He said, "I stole a car. 13 years old." Challenging ministries. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. But you know something? Somebody's going to have to reach them. Somebody's going to have to look at these young people. Some of them are homeless. Some of them are in there because they've been stealing or homeless or whatever. Somebody's going to have to go and look at them and tell them, "You know what? The Lord loves you. And I'm here to tell you, I got a message from God to you. Jesus cares about you and loves you." We go to Huntsville, preaching a maximum security prison. Some of those old guys in there, there's a couple of old boys in there that's been there since the unit opened in the early 60s. They're lifers. But you know something? While they were in there, they got born again. They come up to me. "Hey, listen, I like old brother Youngblood. He's one of those lifer guys. He's got a tag on there. He says, tells his name. I can't remember his first name. Something Youngblood, saved by the blood. That's what he's got on his tag." Go down there, Brother H. He said, "Man, he's a soul winner. Look, guy's probably in his 60s. He's been there since the unit opened. The day it opened, he was there. He's a lifer." But you know something? If you sit there and talk with him, couldn't tell. Couldn't tell. He's like, "Oh, preacher." He said, "We've been waiting. We've been waiting for you to come." He said, "God's going to do something good tonight. I just believe it." I'll tell you something. Listen, folks. I've had a lot of people say, "Preacher, I'm praying for you." But there's some of those old boys down there. They said, "Preacher, I just want you to know, I've been praying for you all day long." Man, I get chill bumps. Here's a man in prison for the rest of his life. He said, "I prayed for you today. I just believe God's going to do something good today." You say, "What has he got to look forward to?" Heaven. It's about it. Heaven. And you know something? He said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm in here for the rest of my life." He said, "I figure, you know what? I made my way. God allowed me to make my way. I made these choices. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to win people to Christ in here. I'm just going to win people to Christ in here." He's a sweet old guy. Brother Hinton knows who he's talking about. Brother Mshindix has been there that knows who he's talking about. Some of you men that's been there. How can you say no to that guy? You see, we got some challenging ministry. Let me give you one other and we'll be done. Not only did the people have a burden, the people accepted the challenge. But may I say, the people worked in spite of opposition. They worked in spite of opposition. Some of you work in ministries here when you could be working on your secular job. And your secular job just don't understand why you wouldn't work on Sunday. "Don't you know I'm willing to give you double time, time and a half?" I said, "I know. I used to work in the secular world. I know what they pay on Sunday." And boy, when they said, "Listen, I'll pay you cash." What's the difference? Where it's cash, check, credit card? What's the difference if you're working on Sunday? You see, some of you could work on Sunday if you wanted to, but you don't because you know what? Your ministry. Had a brother the other day turned a job down. And listen, let me tell you something. In this day and time, as hard as jobs are today, he said, "Preacher, I turned it down." I said, "Why, brother?" "They wanted me to work on Sunday." And he said, "I got a ministry here at the church, and the ministry at the church is more important than that job." Now, I'm just saying to you that, you know what? They worked in spite of opposition. Sometimes the place of employment becomes a source of opposition. Sometimes transportation becomes an opposition. We've had people in our church, car wouldn't crank. They didn't want to bother anybody. I was driving up here to church, this is several years ago, and I saw this brother walking down the road. I honked the horn, he just waved. I said, "Man, that's old so-and-so." I whipped my car, didn't have the truck at the time, whipped my car around. But I said, "Brother, where are you going?" He said, "Going to church." He said, "Man, I got up this morning, my car's broke down, I don't know what's wrong with it." He walked. And I just picked him up right down, he's almost here. You know what? Wasn't going to miss his ministry. He didn't let a broken down car stop him. Now you say, "Preach, you don't understand, I live 40 minutes from here, I can't walk." I understand. He didn't live that far from here. The people worked in spite of opposition. Folks, we don't have time. When you read the story of Nehemiah, go back and read about all the opposition that they had. They were insulted. Their character and integrity was brought into question. They said, if you build it, Fox, jump on and fall down. I mean, they just insulted them. Tried to embarrass them publicly. But you know what they kept doing? Working. Just kept working. And I love what Nehemiah said. Hey, you know what? What I'm doing here is a great work. Now listen, he said, I cannot come down to you. And may I say to you, church, as I believe as a worker for the Lord Jesus Christ in your local church, you'd have to step down to be president. You'd have to step down to be president. You say, no, that's a big high office. What eternal value is it going to have? You're doing something that has eternal value for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a cause to work? Nehemiah thought there was. David looked out there and saw Goliath. He thought there was a cause. And may I say to you, as I was reading this week, preparing for tonight, reading about Nehemiah and reading about the people that served with him, I thought about you folks. Why? You got a burden for souls. You took up the challenge. We've got a lot of challenging ministries. You took the challenge up. But you also work in spite of opposition. And there is going to be opposition when you're trying to serve God. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many tonight say, preacher, I'm saved. I've been born into the family of God. No question about it. Slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. I've been born again. No question about it. If the trumpet sounded, I'm heaven bound. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, the message now is going forth. I just want to do a tribute to our workers and thank you for sending good people